Workers at an Amazon warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, voted yesterday on whether to unionize. This is only the second time an effort to unionize Amazon workers in the U.S. has made it to a vote. Vote counting started this week. Amazon is the country's second largest employer, and this vote could have an impact that goes far beyond this or other Amazon warehouses, extending to the labor movement as a whole. We're talking now about the union vote at that warehouse and what it means for the whole country. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a current or former union member yourself? What did you see as the benefits, or did you see drawbacks? Do you think Amazon workers should unionize? What are you watching for in the outcome of this vote? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. John Shelton is an associate professor and chair of Democracy and Justice Studies in the UW-Green Bay Department of History. He's the author of Teacher Strike, Public Education and the Making of a New American Political Order. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob. I'm really happy to be here.
How important do you see this particular Amazon warehouse unionization vote beyond the boundaries of that particular warehouse?
Yeah, you know, there's obviously been a ton of media attention around this the past few weeks with, you know, Amazon having the profile that it does. But I think no matter how much attention there's been, in some ways it's not enough. I mean, this is really a pretty important moment in the history of labor relations in this country, in particular because we're at a moment where it's very difficult for unions to organize and win elections. And it's particularly so in the South. You know, in the South, there's a history of employers sort of playing white workers against black workers, and for a variety of other reasons, unions are weaker in the South than they are in other regions. So it's significant that it's there. But you know, labor law in this country really favors the employer. And one of the things that we've seen in this strike is Amazon. I'm sorry, this election. We're not dealing with a strike,
right.
Not yet. But one of the things that we've seen is Amazon really sort of pulling out all the stops that corporations have done, you know, really over the past 40 or 50 years to make it more difficult for workers to organize. So, you know, they're holding these meetings weekly where they're basically kind of explaining to workers why, you know, they shouldn't vote for the union. The union doesn't really have the same time to respond. So it's in the industry, they call these captive audience meetings. You know, they're sort of making implicit threats about what could happen if the workers form a union. I mean, there's a whole an industry that's emerged, you know, called the union avoidance industry. So it's kind of amazing that we're here. And if workers win this, you know, not only is this going to have a tremendous impact in Amazon, right, because, you know, there are warehouses across this country that this would provide a really positive model for, but it would really show, you know, a lot of other workers out there who want to join unions, and something like 48% of workers who are not in a union want one, you know, would show them that it's possible to win under these very difficult circumstances.
Now, Amazon has made the case to those workers and publicly that, hey, we pay $15 an hour, much better than a minimum wage job, benefits and things like that. I've seen others point to, warehouse logistics workers often get paid more than that. Amazon might be paying less by comparison. Can you talk about the argument over the costs and benefits for workers from unionizing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would really say two things about that. I mean, first of all, a $15 an hour wage is really kind of the minimum where things should be in this country, right? If the minimum wage had kept up with inflation, we'd be at, like, you know, way higher than $15 an hour. But I want to just put this into perspective for folks who are listening to this, right? A $15 an hour wage is $30,000 a year. Now, that in many places is not actually a living wage, right? And to put that into some perspective here, right, these workers are trying to organize. Their ultimate boss, right? I mean, until very recently, you know, CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, made about $75 billion in 2020. And if you suss out that math, that means that he made in 2020 about $30,000 every 12 minutes. Okay, so those are sort of the stakes of this, and how this make us sort of look at the larger issue of wealth inequality and income inequality in this country. So that's number one, right? I mean, I think the workers would argue, as to your point, that they should be making more than $15 an hour. But the bigger principle at play here is something that Labor scholars have talked about, and this was something that came up all the way back in the early 20th century, the idea of industrial democracy, the idea that to be treated as people and to have some say in your working conditions is just as important as having good wages. And that's a big part of this fight, actually. So some of the things that these workers are really, sort of upset about is the larger conditions under which Amazon employees are working, that they're the same as Amazon employees are working across the country. I mean, Amazon is, they pay $15 an hour. There's just all kinds of accounts of workers talking about what a grueling place it is, the amount of physical effort, being monitored every minute of the day. I mean, the number of people basically saying, who work at Amazon, who are saying, like, we don't even have time to take a bathroom break. So the argument here is that workers need a union to effectively negotiate for those things, to negotiate for dignity and to really have a say in their workplace, and that's just as important as it is, to have a good wage.
Talking to John Shelton, Associate Professor of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW Green Bay, about the unionization vote at an Amazon warehouse facility in Alabama, what it means for the rest of the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions on the issue. John, put this in the wider perspective for us. No secret, a big decline, right, in union membership in the United States over the last few decades.
Yeah, and so, again, I think, and I sort of led off with this, but I mean, I think the terrain in which these workers are trying to win this election is really important, because we have labor laws in this country that favor the employer. I mean, you look at, I cited, the number that, almost half of people who don't have a union want one. Two-thirds of Americans approve of unions right now. So it's not translating into, these sort of collective bargaining relationships. Only 6% of workers in the private sector have a collective bargaining relationship. You contrast that with Europe, where, in Germany, workers have, something like 60% of workers are covered by some kind of, collective negotiation. And excuse me. The reason for that is that we have labor law in this country that, really hasn't been reformed since its inception. I mean, the playing field in which workers are, even in Amazon, casting their ballots with this incredible effort, to try and convince them that they shouldn't organize. A lot of people who look at labor unions and the labor movement in this country say that that's not actually that democratic, right? I mean, it would be like having a political election where one side really didn't have, really couldn't play on the same field as the other side. And so, I think one of the things that's come out of this, and it's not a surprise that this conversation around Amazon is happening, where there's a big conversation about a major reform to labor law in this country. They're happening at the same time. So, a lot of your listeners probably know that there's a law called the PRO Act, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, that's actually passed the House, and it hasn't been taken up in the Senate yet. But there's a pretty robust conversation about passing a law like that would really help to sort of equal the playing field.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Black River Falls. Chris, hi.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The union issue, I don't think we need unions anymore. We needed them in the past for safety issues and the conditions that were out there. We don't need them anymore. If people don't like working at Amazon, they can go someplace else. Let the free market take care of it. This is going to cost jobs. It's going to cost, things are going to be higher to ship, et cetera. We don't need unions.
Chris, thanks for the call. John?
Yeah, Chris, that's certainly one argument that you can make, and appreciate the argument. I would say a couple of things to that. I mean, number one, the idea that Amazon can't afford, to pay higher wages or ensure the safety of its workers, when this is a corporation that rakes in billions of dollars in profits every year. I just don't think that's persuasive to most people. I mean, again, public opinion polling bears it out. And the other thing I would say is that, you could argue that maybe unions aren't necessary anymore, but I got to tell you, that's news to all of the Amazon workers who are talking about their working conditions there. I mean, when people can't take a bathroom break, something's got to happen to sort of change that power dynamic. And, again, it's possible to find another job somewhere else, but I think the bigger question is, as Americans, what do we want our work lives to look like? I mean, do we want to basically walk into a situation? I mean, everybody has to work for a living. Do we want that situation to look like a dictatorship, or should workers have some say over their working conditions and some ability to ensure that they have dignity in the workplace? And I think, you know, whether the workers win or not, a very substantial portion of them are going to vote for the union. And I think they would disagree with Chris's point.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We're talking to John Shelton, Associate Professor of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW-Green Bay, talking about a union vote at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama and what it means for the labor movement in general. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever been part of a unionization effort at a private company? How did it go? What do you think of unions? Do you think Amazon warehouses should be unionized? What are you hoping comes out of this election? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with John Shelton, Associate Professor of History at UW-Green Bay, looking at how the vote on whether to unionize an Amazon warehouse in Alabama could affect the future of the labor movement. Votes being counted this week in that unionization drive. You could join in with your thoughts and your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Viroqua. Mike, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Mike?
I was just going to mention that I've held a union position, a job for 6 years. I've since quit that. But as far as bathroom breaks and working conditions, they were among some of the worst as far as places I've been employed through.
Mike, what line of work were you in a union shop for, if I may ask?
It was a construction job, so, you know, it's usually pretty rough and tumble. But just still being union, you know, you're almost dehumanized. At least I felt that way.
Mike, thanks for the call. John, Mike saying he didn't have a great experience in a union construction shop.
Yeah, Mike, appreciate that comment. I mean, you know, working conditions vary so much in different places across the country. I don't know the specifics of your union. I mean, you know, I think it's important for us to recognize that unions are not perfect, right? I mean, they're social organizations. It can sometimes be difficult for workers to advocate for the things that they want, but that's all the more reason for folks to get involved in their union if the union is not representing them and making sure they have the things that they need. I mean, to your point, every worker deserves to have dignity in the workplace. And I mean, something as basic as a bathroom break is not something that should be up for grabs.
I wanted to talk to you about the bathroom break issue, John, and how it plays out in this, or from what we've heard, at least from Amazon employees. It isn't you're barred from using the bathroom, right? It is there are productivity measurements that are hurt if you do something like use the bathroom. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. So what Amazon does with its workforce, and it, you know, it's we should be honest about the fact this is one of the reasons its profits are so astronomical is because they effectively have sped up their workforce so much. You know, there was a movement to do this called scientific management, and it started in the early 20th century. And the basic idea was to figure out how quickly you could push workers to work, to get the maximum amount of productivity. And that's what Amazon is doing here. I mean, that's their corporate philosophy. It's not just people on the shop floor, you know, at these warehouses. It's also, you know, in the management positions. I mean, there are all these, revelations of the kind of working conditions that everybody working at Amazon with this sort of like intense drive to make it as profitable as possible, putting all these people in positions where they're sort of overworked. And so that's exactly right. But it's worse for folks in the warehouse because every one of their movements are constantly measured. And if they're not meeting these productivity quotas, they're disciplined or possibly fired. And so you have a lot of workers basically saying, like, I have to be really careful about doing this because if I take a break, you know, that's going to be some demerits against me. And I have to make sure that my productivity is constantly up. So people are working under tremendous pressure. That's been magnified over the past year. In particular, as Amazon has tried to get, you know, with a much more virtual shopping world, get everything to consumers like right away because consumers expect to have them right away. And, you know, the other part of this I would mention is that, you know, 80% of these workers are African-American. I mean, these are, you know, the folks who are feeling this intense level of scrutiny and stress are a large majority of Black workers. And in Amazon, they're connecting this to the larger sense of, you know, economic and racial equality in this country. And, you know, they're making that connection, pretty profoundly. And it's, and I think it's all the more interesting because, you know, when you look at the numbers on this, unions tend to help African-Americans because they're at some of the lower echelon, disproportionate the lower echelons of the labor force. And so unions help African-Americans in this sort of fight for better wages and dignity disproportionately than white workers. So it's really fascinating.
Let's go back to our callers now. Kurt is with us in Mauston. Kurt, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Just had a couple of experiences. I've worked both with the Teamsters and then also as a Teamster and then in later years as management in the state of Wisconsin and also in a private corporation. And just seeing it from all kind of perspectives, I've grown to appreciate and dislike unions. You know, the union leadership has to be focused on supporting their members and not focused on supporting their management circle. And I think that's where the Wisconsin State Employees Union got in trouble. And, but then on the flip side, working for a private corporation, I work for a company that in my eyes would no doubt gut the workforce and take advantage of the employees every chance they could if they didn't have the union there to support and protect the employees. And that's all I've got.
Interesting. Kurt, thanks a lot for the call. Nuanced perspective there, John. What do you think?
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Kurt. And, you know, once again, I think you're hitting on the point that unions are only as good as their members, right? I mean, unions are democracies. In some ways, they're maybe some of the most purest form of democracy we have in this country. And members have to push their leadership. And you're right. Like it can, you know, the leadership that's in place can really vary. I can't comment on your particular situation at all, but I will just point out that I have an uncle who was a Teamster trucker for a very long period of time, and he has a pension right now because of his union. So I think there's a vast range of experiences out there.
Thanks for that call. Mike joins us next from Madison. Mike, hello.
Hello. Yes, I used to work for the Koch brothers, Koch Industries. As a manager, they spent a lot of effort on trying to basically convince us that unions were bad. We were instructed to find any way we could other than pay or benefits in order to motivate our employees. One of the things that we were taught was that basically that the unions set the threshold, the bottom level of the pay scale, and if we had similar workers, we had to pay a scale that was relatively similar to what they could get at a union job. So the people that don't belong to a union really benefit from the unions in that their pay is elevated in respect to that. So without the unions, I from the previous caller, what he had to say, I agree, we would lose a lot of our protections, a lot of our benefits, and most certainly our pay across the board as workers would go down. I've worked for four billionaires now, and they're always trying to find ways other than pay and benefits to motivate work out of the employees.
Mike, thanks for that call. That one point he made, John, is there research on that unions at one place might end up driving up wages even at their competing or other area non-union workplaces?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And the reason for that is because other workplaces, I mean, certainly they have to pay higher wages to be competitive. But, you know, back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, which was sort of like the high watermark of private sector unionization in this country, about 35% of non-farm employers were unionized at that time. You know, a lot of employers, if they didn't want to have a union representing their workers, they would basically treat their workers better. So, I mean, I think what the previous caller is really sort of hinting at here is that unions are broadly beneficial for most workers. And that's one of the reasons that companies like Amazon, you know, don't want them because, their ability to make astronomical profits is in large part connecting connected to how much they can get out of their workers at the lowest price. And, you know, we have a situation in this country. I just want to say we have a situation in this country where this level of inequality and the level of degradation that a lot of working people feel, this is an epidemic. I mean, it's been exacerbated over the past year, and we've seen it because of this sort of, you know, conversation about essential workers. But the way people are being treated in the workplace is not sustainable. And so, you know, we're going to have to make some changes either through making it easier for workers to organize, or, you know, there's going to have to be some other way to make things better for people in the workplace. I think most workers, you know, would agree that having some way to organize and have their voice heard collectively is probably the best way of doing that. But you know, the situation we have with, people being demonized for asking for more than $15 an hour, at the same time that you have billionaires like literally raking in profits at the expense of working people, I think that's going to come to a resolution one way or another. So it's a very, very important political and economic question that we're dealing with right now. And the Amazon case shows that.
We'll leave it there. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome, and good luck with the rest of the show.
That was John Shelton, Associate Professor and Chair of Democracy and Justice Studies in the UW-Green Bay Department of History. He joined us for a look at a unionization vote at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama and what it means for the labor movement overall. Votes being counted this week at that Amazon facility. Still time to share your thoughts on the issue. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org.